second story, the disciples push away children who are brought by their mothers to touch Jesus and have Jesus bless them. And then Jesus rebukes the disciples, welcomes the little children, and he says the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So very quickly in two stories, he reveals a different attitude to the children that adults reveal. Now, adult attitude and Jesus' attitude to their children, the adults show by their actions that they're concerned about having status and importance. Only those people who are really concerned about their own personal status are asking questions about status. Well, who's in charge? Well, what responsibilities do I have? And they ask these things, and in some ways it's like, we know if you're a security guard at a small company with 50 employees, you're like, oh, that's good, you know, I'm glad you have a job. But if you say, I'm a security guard, and I serve the President of the United States, then we're like, ooh, Secret Service, right? You're the elite of all, I mean, pretty much one of the most dedicated servants in these United States of America, because of who you're attached to. And in some ways, the disciples, when they're pushing people away, they say, whoa, 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 don't just run up to Jesus. Do you know who he is? He's the Messiah. Well, at this time, they probably didn't know he was the Messiah. But by their attachment to him, they also felt puffed up and had a sense of importance. And Jesus quickly put them in their place, saying, no, no, you're wrong in these instances. Let the children come unto me. And so Jesus displayed a very different attitude towards children, and I want to understand why. How many of you still know the phrase, or have heard of the phrase, children should be seen and not heard? I'm just curious. Because I think it's a generational thing, that people my generation above know this. People below my generation, millennials, have no clue what I'm talking about. Because I've noticed in my generation, 5 years, 5 years older, 5 years younger, our children are like the kings of the world, right? Especially if you have one. Then it's like, oh, you know, wash your hands, sanitize before you touch my child, you know, and all this kind of stuff. By the time you have three or four, it's like, here, you know, just take my child, you know, take them home with you if you'd like. I have three more. And so you have this kind of, and you're like, is he joking or is she joking? And you don't know. But anyway, Jesus, at this time and stage, he says, let the children come to me. A profoundly different attitude than what we're used to. And so I wonder about that. The more we age, it seems the less we understand and empathize with children. Why do experts run studies on children? Weren't they kids themselves? I mean, what did they forget? How did they forget that they were once children? And they ask, why do kids do that? Well, if you look back probably in our history, we did that when we were kids, but we don't know why we did it. And that's kind of the curious thing. When we grow up, just like the experts, when we become adults, we start to garner the skills necessary to live together as a society. And it's very different for a kid. When you ask a child, why are you doing that? They go, well, why not? You know, why are you climbing up that tree? Because it's there. Why are you jumping off of it? Because it looks fun. Don't you know you're going to break your leg? Oh, well, you know, that's what happens. I once jumped off, I think it was like a three-story balcony when I was a kid, onto grass. I sprained one of my ankles, but it was a lot of fun. You know, because I'm like Superman. Bad role model Superman, right? No, just kidding. Now, as an adult, we would never do that, right? We would never do that. We calculate the risk, and there's a little part of us that says, that's fun. You know, I want to do it. Therefore, I'm going to invent skydiving so I can, you know, jump off for fun as an adult. As adults, it's our responsibility to teach our children, but along the way, we feel disconnected from our children in the attitudes that they display. And that's what Jesus is getting at. So Jesus says in Matthew 18:3, I tell you the truth, unless you change to become like one of these, then you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So what does Jesus mean by that? What are the things that children have that we as adults no longer have, even though we once had it as children? One, children are utterly helpless and dependent on adults for their survival. A newborn baby, a human baby, is probably one of the most pathetic creatures on earth in terms of survivability. You have animals that are born, and then like the little turtles, like they come out of their eggshells, dig themselves out of a sand pit, and then they swim directly to the ocean, and boom, you're on your own for the rest of your lives. Human babies are not that way. We don't function that way. We die. Adults, the last thing we want to do is to feel helpless. Never, ever, ever do we want to feel helpless. We put up fronts, we put up walls, we fake it till we make it, we do anything and everything. We acquire titles, we acquire responsibilities, because we never want to be deemed helpless or feel helpless. But that's what children are. They really are. And so as we adults grow up, and as we begin to depend on ourselves more, we depend less on God our Father. As we begin to earn more by our power, by the sweat of our brow, by our effort, lack of sleep, we feel like we earned it and God did not earn it. And so we take credit for the good that God has allowed us to experience and to achieve. So no wonder we forget what it's like to be children. Because we don't want to be like that. And as adults, don't we do that? Don't we encourage our children to emulate ourselves rather than to be children? Suck it up, you know, get a good job so you can get a good wife, you know, or live comfortably. Get good grades so you can get to good college and maximize your chances for blah, 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 blah. And so I can brag about you to my other, you know, friends because their kids went to different colleges, but you went to... Essentially, we've made our own kingdom, where we are, or at least have the illusion of control. Now, children are very different. They want something more than their own reality. When we were very little, Peter Pan and Neverland, right? We want to go somewhere where there are no adults, because their world is not pleasant to us. Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. You know, C.S. Lewis and the Chronicles of Narnia. The children go to a different land. Now, adults, we're not immune to this either, right? I'm a big Star Wars fan, right? I would love to be like a Jedi or something like that. That would be so awesome, right? Officer, this is not the car that you were chasing, you know? This is not the car I was chasing. You know, please go on your way. And for the generation below me, it's Harry Potter. You know, we had a couple that went to Orlando. We're like, oh, great, you went to Disney World? No, we went to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, right? That just opened up at Universal Orlando. So that deep-seated need to be part of something greater still remains with us. I mean, we know that. Even as adults, we haven't forgotten that as a child. But compared to being in control, that's more valuable to us. Now, the second thing, children are very teachable. They can easily learn whatever we teach them. If I try to learn now, right, try to learn Mandarin or Chinese, you know, God help me, I need divine help, right? It's going to take a long time. My niece, who's in Hong Kong now because of my brother and his work, she's learning Mandarin like that. And so she can count and she counts. She has all these great expressions and phrases, conversation. And her tutors tell her that her accent is like a native. And I'm like, well, that's because she's like eight, right? You know? Her, you know, tongue and formation, anyway. The point is, they're so capable of learning. Very quick. They're like sponges. They just absorb, absorb, absorb. But we have a difficult time learning new things, teaching an old dog new tricks. Now the thing is, many of us approach Bible and faith this way. When you're telling children the stories of the Bible, and you ask them, oh, so what did you learn today in Sunday school? They will say, oh, I learned how Noah did this, and Noah did that, and oh yeah, then this and that, and they'll just recount everything that they learned that day. If you ask an adult, what did the pastor preach about today? You know, I don't know, but it was nice, right? It was a nice sermon. Made me think. Don't worry, I will not judge you. Grace abounds and Jesus loves you still. Within the set parameters that we kind of place for ourselves as adults, we kind of close in God's capability in a sense, because we limit God in our lives. Oh, God could not do that for me, or God could not teach that for me. So then we stop praying for those things that are beyond our ability, beyond our power, beyond the borders of our kingdom, where I am king. And this is, I think, the third part of what children do that Jesus really loves about them. They accept as truth things which seems so beyond our understanding. At a young age, you can tell a child anything and they'll believe it. You know, the first time I saw a magician pull a rabbit out of his hat, I was like, how did the rabbit get in there, right? I was so amazed. And because the magician, of course, you know the trick, he shows you the hat, you know, goes like this, you know, and then he, what the heck? I was so amazed that a rabbit could emerge out of nothing. And I wished I had a hat like that so I could have a rabbit. Because at the time, my parents were kind of like anti-pet. So you can tell a child, someone, you know, who begins with S and ends with anta is, you know, is an illusion. And they may not believe you because in their minds, absolutely real. The reality of the world is something that happens on a roof on a particular night, and then the next morning at 12:01, because technically that's the next morning, you know, things happen. I hope I'm vague enough. Now, adults, we never do things blindly. We never believe things blindly. We do a cost-benefit analysis. We compare it to our own experience and teaching, especially if I'm an expert. Like, oh, I studied political science in college, so you're talking to me about politics? Who's the expert, right? Well, I'll tell you, he's got two thumbs, and, you know, that's me. So we adults, I mean, we are not children by any means, because this goes back to number one, we want to be in control. We want to not be helpless. So children believe. They believe. And that is the amazing thing about them. So no wonder Jesus says, when he's faced with these obstinate disciples all the time, he's like, oh, you know, little child, come to me. You know, who do you think I am? I don't know, but you're just awesome, right? I don't know why, but next to you, I feel at peace. And mothers bring their children to be blessed by Jesus, and he blesses them and he prays over them. I think there are a couple other things that our children teach us, and now we're talking about our older children. Our children tell us we worship two gods. Most of our children, if they're blessed to be raised in a church, will say, oh, we worship Jesus Christ. He's our God. He's our Savior. But then the rest of the time, they're going to tell us about the other God they worship. And you see it because it comes out in prayer requests all the time. They worship school. You know, there's the gods of Troy and Whitney and Oxford and, you know, Canyon. You know, it's like a pantheon, right? It's like they worship college. They worship SAT, after-school programs, their tutors, their extracurricular activities. The false god, and I call them false not because it's a good thing, but because it competes with the real God whom we worship. The false god, they worship 7 days a week. Oh, I have to leave right away, Pastor. Why? Oh, because I have an exam tomorrow. Oh, why didn't you study for it throughout the week? Oh, because I had other things to do. Like what? Oh, I had extracurricular this, extracurricular B, extracurricular C. And I'm like, oh my Lord, you are so busy. No wonder you have no time to be a child. You know, you're like a little man walking around or a little a woman. You're going to be like a CEO. And if a parent hears that, they're like, yes, CEO. I can retire early. You know, children are a retirement plan. Stop using your children that way. No, just kidding. I fully intend to do the same. And it shows my weakness, too, that I also worship another God at times. I worship comfort, security, control. All those things I forgot when I grew up. Our children tell us sometimes that worshiping God, therefore, is not very important. Some of our students have lost interest in coming to our churches, and we know this because it's not just in Chinese churches, it's in Korean churches, black churches, white churches, doesn't matter. They graduate from high school, and as soon as they're 18, a lot of them say, I want to go to a school far away. Why? Because I want to get away from my parents and their gods. I'm tired of what the pastor's been telling me about his God. Instead, I need to figure out faith on my own. And they leave. We didn't do a good job. Children learn from their friends and also our parents. If our parents are modeling hard work in their corporation or business or entrepreneurial endeavors and whatever it may be, but it's not related to church, then the children see that. They feel it's okay then to work hard in their corporate world, school, or in their extracurricular activities, in their, because the parents, you have a profound and inordinate amount of influence on your children, especially when they're young. Their friends have a profound and inordinate amount of influence on our students. If our students are spending time with those who do not go to church, you know, are we influenced by them or do we influence them? And that's the struggle that our students go through. And if all of you are left behind by all of us because we're displaying a different kind of worship, then how can you be blamed when you decide to go the other way? And Jesus makes it pretty clear that the responsibility is borne by who? Well, he's got a bunch of millstones ready. And that's quite frightening indeed. I think there's only this one instance where Jesus Christ makes a distinction between his followers. I say often that Jesus loves the children more than he does the adults. Why? Because Jesus actually says so. There's a difference here. So in some ways, our time of prayer and dedication that we're going to go into right now is a way for one, if we have, as adults, one, there's some confession, I think, from all of us, myself included, that we have forgotten what it's like to be children before Jesus Christ. Two, there's confession before Jesus because we try to make little men and women worshiping the world's gods out of our children. And we need to confess to our children and confess to Jesus that that isn't what we're about as a family of faith here. And then three, once we're free of these millstones that hang around our necks, then we would bless the people who have sacrificed their energy and effort to serve our students, and then bless our students themselves, and then finally, to ask our students to bless us, because we need your prayers. I mean, heck, if Jesus loves you more than he loves me, then I want you to pray for me rather than me praying for you. Jesus might be more inclined to listen to your prayers because we certainly need your prayers. For there is a heavy responsibility placed on all adults. And our children are too precious. Not because we're trying to, you know, promote our genetic legacy for the years and decades to come, but because Jesus Christ says so. And that's the only thing that really matters. So with that, I want to ask, is Ethan in the house? Ethan. Now, Ethan is going to come up and he's going to share and he's going to teach us as a child to let us know about his experience in Sunday school ministry. Let me grab a mic for you. Oh.
Testing, testing.
Desmond's got that.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, my name is Ethan. I'm in fifth grade. I'm in the kids ministry. The kids ministry is really fun. We learn about the Bible. Such as we learn about do not sin, we learn about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, and we learn about God's disciples, and a lot more. Like, it's so fun. We have free time every day. We have little hoops. We shoot the hoops. We play Wii and GameCube. Those who don't know are GameCubes, they're Nintendos. And we also play handball. There are other fun activities, such as Easter egg hunt. We have FECC picnic. We have a sleepover at the church. We have VBS every summer. I would like to thank Uncle Joel, Auntie Amelia, for bringing kids ministry all together. I'd like to thank David and T. Echo for our worship. I would like to thank the teachers early in the morning to teach us. I would like, they're like really, I'm actually really thankful for them. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Ethan. You should just come up here every Sunday. Yeah. Ken, we'll have him do the announcements for me. So thank you for that. I think we feel very encouraged by your sharing. And we'd also like to ask one of our teachers to come up and to share. So Christy is coming right up, so let's give her a round of applause. She comes up.
And I've been started doing this since the Fullerton started. And the reason I joined the preschool ministry is not because I had a calling. It's just because we moved here, everybody had to do something, and I don't know what else to do. So okay, I'll do children's. I will do preschools. And first, I want to thank God that for reinstill the love for children again. My kids are older, you guys know, and I have detached from little children for a while, and I just don't see, they're not as cute as before. But, but as I started, I thank God that He gave me the love, and a sincere love. I really sincerely say that I really love them. And I remember each one of them the first time they came to church. Brandon and Caitlin and Kristen 3 weeks ago. I remember when they first came, how they were and how they cried, you know, want to leave their parents until now. And also even after Sunday school times, when I see them just have the joy, the overwhelming joy coming from them. And also, I also want to say that I'm very encouraged by other helpers in the Sunday school, like Minzu and Sarah. I can see them come prepared, and Minzu has been teaching children's ministry for many, many years, and she still, after take a break, and she still comes back. And I think that encouragement is something very rewarding. Okay. Not only that, I want to share with you that through teaching Bible stories, even though just stories, but God really speaks to me when I teach this Sunday school. For example, last month, in month of August, we talk about Jonah and the big fish, and the city of Nineveh repents. We spent 2 weeks teaching that story. And God used it because at that time I was at a state of rebellious. I was wrestling with God with the area of my stubbornness, and I did not want to let go. So God used that two story during that week, 2 weeks, you know, caused me to surrender, to obey, and to go. And the week after that, things happened. Willie one day woke up with sudden loss of his vision. And most of you know that he had a stroke about 3 weeks ago on his eye. And guess what story that coming Sunday was? It's Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. And so the story, in the story says, I mean, the Bartimaeus called out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus said to him, "Your faith has healed you." So have mercy on us, Jesus. Give me the faith that I need. That was my prayers in the last 2-3 weeks. And praise God, God did heal him. Thank to Eddie that he gave me... He gave us a Snellen chart, eye chart. So 2 days ago, I was like, what is this? He was 2030 versus 2100 2 weeks ago. So praise God for that. So I wanted, today I'm sharing, I just want to let you know, it's a privilege to be able to serve God in children's ministry. God will raise His people in the area of needs in children's ministry. So it's whether it's me or you, you know, to me, God will raise these people. So I want to invite all of you to prayerfully consider joining the children's ministry, especially the guys who are sitting among us. You know, it's amazing. I do not know why our kids love male teachers so much. Just over the retreat, Pastor David was doing a worship, and I need to go to the restroom, so I went to the restroom, and I heard our little Nathan crying. So I went into the room, tried to help him, to comfort him, since he know me better. So we spent so much time, me and Rita tried to calm him down, and finally he kind of calmed down a little bit, and then we put him on Jeremy, a young guy, I don't know his last name, Jeremy's lap. And all of a sudden he was so relaxed, he's looking, he's playing. And we know that our children, for some reason, they love male teachers. So please, prayerfully consider if this is the area God wants you to join at, to do. Now, I want to share you with the story we're going to teach today. Today, the story is about David anointed by Samuel. And the Bible verse is 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I'm going to read to you verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So if God calls you to do something or give us a job, he will definitely anoint us with the power of Holy Spirit. So please pray and hope you can join us.
Thank you, Karen. Truly, when you teach, before I was pastor, I taught Sunday school for like 10 years. Pretty young age, small church, everyone helps out. And one thing my pastor always told me, teaching is a double blessing. Why? Because one, you're blessed in your preparation, and then you're blessed again when you're teaching and working with the little children. And it is a double blessing that you receive. So I really encourage you, teachers throughout the board, from the youngest to the oldest, and each one's kind of a different calling, a different set. But if you're interested at all, please, please speak to myself, to any of the faculty members, the leadership team, to Willie, to Joel or Amelia or Kevin, and we would love to try to hook you up and connect you into our teaching ministry. Now, what I'd like to do is to please ask that our preschool, kindergarten, and elementary workers and students, if you would all please come up, and we would like to pray over you. At the same time, may I ask for all of our adult leadership, if you would come up and join me as we pray. Now, the way we're going to do this is as they come up, we're going to lay our hands on them and pray for them. And at the same time, I would like to ask you and the congregation to please also be in prayer for them. You may extend a hand or just in silence, pray for them. Come on up, come on up. Okay. So let's go ahead. If all of our fellow members, you know, find a volunteer to pray over, find a student to pray over. Okay. So let's spend a few moments in prayer for them. You may pray out loud or in silence, and then I will lead us all in prayer. So good and so gracious, and you give to us children to remind and to teach us about your great love, that as you love them, as you care for them, as you show compassion for them, Lord, you at the same time lift them up as teachers for us, adults. Father, help us to learn from our children. Help us to learn all the things that you desire for us to learn, especially to humble ourselves
that we may also be and embrace and be part of the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, may you bless our children. May you bless all of our Sunday school teachers, workers, volunteers. May you bless our parents who volunteer as well. Father, would you bless them and keep them. Anoint them as Christy was sharing with your Holy Spirit power, that they do all these things not out of our own strength, but out of your strength. Not out of our own love and compassion, which may grow tired, but out of your love, Lord, out of your compassion, out of your mercy. We thank you, Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, all our sins. Please be seated.
We'll probably go another 5 minutes and then we will from the beginning, when Fullerton was founded, when Pastor Joe was here, he had asked two of our members to be involved in the youth ministry. And as they have now completed their terms of service, and we're going to be introducing Kevin in a moment, I had asked for both Jimmy and Eric to please come to be with us at today's service, that we may also express our appreciation towards them and pray over them. So Jimmy and Eric, if you would mind, please come forward. That would be great. And so this is a small token from the church. I know that your treasure is in heaven, but at the same time, we would love to give a small token of appreciation of, working with youth is hard. As a youth worker myself, it is hard. And because it's a ministry of relationships, it's not so much teaching, it's not so much those matters, but getting down and dirty in the dirtiness of life and walking through them with them in that dirtiness. We are very thankful for your work. And you probably don't consider it work. It's a joy to you, because if it's not joyful, there's no way anyone would serve as youth ministry. But thank you for showing the example for the past 2 years. May we pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, as Jimmy and Eric have concluded their service, and as they now proceed into other chapters of service in their lives, as you have called them, wherever they may go, however they may serve, Lord Jesus, we are confident in knowing that the lives that they touch in the future will be lives also transformed and changed. Because as they go, we know you go with them. As they go, we know your spirit goes with them. We've seen it evident in the lives of our own young people, and we pray, Lord, that you would continue to use them in mighty ways for your purposes, that your kingdom may grow, that other people may be blessed, and that they would truly see in their faces the face of Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. Now, youth group, it's your turn. I would like to please ask you to please come on up along with Kevin. Yes, I'm making the person with the making drink to walk. So please come on up. And we are going to do the same, in which we will pray over our youth students and pray over Kevin. Kevin is now our youth group coordinator in charge of serving our young people. So yes, please be shy. Come on. Please do not be shy. Yes. Please come on up.
We're really happy, guys, when they did our parent teachers.
Yes, so all of our youth workers were involved. All adults as well. So David and Janice and Lily, if you come up, and we'd like to also pray over you. So before we begin, Kevin, do you want to say a few words?
Never mind. So like Pastor David was sharing, we want our youth group really to be a relationship-based community, so that through just sharing experiences with each other and also reading the Word together, learning together, that we can encounter Jesus. And so there is a great need for more workers. Like Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It's hard to do relationship if it's the staff to student ratio is like 1 to 10, or like 1 to 5 even. So If you would like to hear more about what's planned for the youth or interested in helping out, whether you know, Fridays and Sundays, just Fridays or just Sundays, we have a parent meeting later today at 1:30 in B200. And yeah, we'd welcome you to come out.
Okay, hold on to that. Okay, so please, if you're interested at all, at 1:30 in room B200. Now, at the same time, FELT members, and we'll do the same, just find some youth group workers and youth group students to lay our hands on, and we will pray for them. Congregation, I ask you to do the same, whether in silence or you may extend a hand towards the youth and the youth workers, and then Kevin will end this time in prayer after a few minutes. So let's pray. All right, Heavenly Father, just thank you so much, Lord, for all of our youth students. I'm just praying, Lord, that you would just bless and keep them in your care, that you would just watch over them, and Father, as they were, that you would just watch over them, continue to bless and keep them. Father, I just pray, God, that you would just make us worthy so that we may serve them, how it does with your spirit and with your power, with your grace, so that we may continue to always in love, show them all the affection that you have given for us, and the hardships of their lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would be present and be manifest, that your love would sustain them and carry them through, especially as school begins. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would help them into relationships and our families and brokenness. We thank you, Father, that you would just keep them in your love and your care. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, in your precious Son.
Jesus, I just praise you for what you did on the cross, but also because you've decided to be the oldest son in the family. Mm. And firstly, for the youth, God, I just want to lift them up to you as they start forming their identities, start really having to, you know, balance different voices speaking to them. Would you just provide brothers and sisters the same age, older than them, and even younger than them, to speak to them and to guide them through your voice, God. And Father, for the youth workers, as we try to, you know, model you, that you would just use the weakness through our experiences, just our lives, to be an example for them. Because just our own wisdom, our own love, just isn't deep enough. It isn't wide enough. And so, Father, I just pray for, you know, your leading, your guidance, and, you know, a greater portion of your spirit, more blessing, and just during the storms in this life, God, would you really bring this community together, from the parent helpers to, you know, our seventh graders? Would you really make us a community that exemplifies your love, that's transparent, that is seeking after you in one body, in one mind, in one spirit? And so, Father, I'm excited for what you're going to do, and I pray that you would take us by the hand and lead us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, students, if your parents are here, I'd like to ask you to please sit next to them, because in this final time, as I ask the praise team to come up, and as we conclude our service, I'd like to ask our children, our students, our young people to pray for your families, pray for your parents. You just heard today on the responsibility God has placed on your parents to be your parents. So they need our prayers. So if your parents are here, would you please be next to them? Now, if you're kind of feeling a little embarrassed to be next to your parents, I see a little of that in the audience. Just kind of extend that hand out there and bless them. And so now, students, if your parents are not here, maybe they do not believe, you are not alone in praying for them. We will pray for them with you. And let's lift up all of our parents, all of our families, your grandparents, all your aunties and uncles who step in as parents in those times that we need them. And let's lift them up in prayer. So praise team, as you go up and begin to play, I will lead us in this time of prayer. So let's pray, students, for all of our families. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful that you allowed us to have parents. Now, some of our parents we know are not the greatest parents, and we know some parents who are not so good may not be so bad after all. But Lord, we know that no matter the circumstances we find ourselves, they are our parents, and you command us to honor our father and mother. Lord, in our prayers, we hope to honor them by lifting them up to you, by lifting them up that you would sustain them and strengthen them, that you would give them good health, good strength, that you would fill them with divine wisdom, that you would also give them a ton of patience and a ton of compassion, and also to teach them empathy, especially when there are cultural and generational divides. Father God, may you bless our parents and watch over them as they take this sometimes very difficult responsibility, but we pray always filled with joy that God has blessed them with children, that God has blessed them with the responsibility of raising them as men and women of God. We thank you, Lord, and we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we end this time of prayer and thanksgiving, I guess you could say, why don't we all stand for one more song?